This month on Naked Oceans, we're looking at the science of tracking sharks. Working out where sharks move and how they use the oceans is vital for efforts to help protect them from the many problems they face today. One of the biggest and most urgent threats to sharks around the world is overfishing to make shark fin soup, a luxury in many parts of the world. To find out how genetic studies are helping to monitor the trade and crack down on illegal activities, I spoke to Mahmoud Shivji, director of the Save Our Seas Shark Research Centre and the Guy Harvey Research Institute at Nova Southeastern University in Florida.
We have some really good quantitative estimates now that tens of millions of sharks are being killed a year to supply the global shark fin trade, and in fact, that it could be as many as 73 million sharks a year. And that's a staggering number. No one is keeping track of which species and what number of each species are being killed worldwide to supply this trade. The best way currently to get a handle on this information is to actually monitor fin markets.
How do you go from taking a dismembered, dried shark fin to developing a genetic tool that's going to help us identify which species it came from?
In a way, it's somewhat analogous, although I must add, really not identical, to DNA methods that are used in human crime cases. The way we do this is that over the past decade or so, we've established an extensive reference database of DNA markers for 80 different shark species. We established this by collecting tissue samples with the help of colleagues around the world from wild sharks in the field, as well as from sharks that were landed in fishing ports. And now that we have this database of what are really, you know, species-specific DNA markers, it's become really quite simple. It's just a matter of getting the fin or the meat from the market, analyzing the DNA, and then matching up the DNA from these body parts to the reference database to identify which species that body part or that fin came from.
What sort of shark species have you been working with, and what sort of things have your studies been showing us?
The global fin trade consists of mostly around 50 shark species, and you know, some species are more common than others. As an example, you know, we did a market study with Shelley Clark at Imperial College in the UK, and showed that fins from blue sharks, short fin maker sharks, silky sharks, and hammerhead sharks are the most common in the trade. But surprisingly, we also found fins from white sharks and from basking sharks, and both these species have small populations worldwide. It turns out that sharks are not the only latibranchs whose fins are valued in the fin trade. In fact, there is another group called sawfishes. Sawfishes are a type of ray. They're related to sharks. You know, sawfishes are those rays that have a long nose, if you will, or a rostrum that has teeth on it. Sawfish populations worldwide have declined dramatically to a point where all currently six described species urgently need to be protected from fishing. And as a result, all known sawfish species are now listed on CITES, with five actually listed on CITES Appendix 1. And what that means is that international trade in these species is actually now illegal for countries that are signatories to CITES, which is most countries.
I take it that there is still sawfish trade going on if your genetic studies are showing them up in trade.
The most highly valued of all fins in the market are actually from sawfishes. I mean, some sawfish species have really large fins. And as a result, because of fishing, overfishing for the fin trade, as well as sort of habitat destruction, sawfishes have really taken the brunt of overexploitation, and their populations have declined tremendously. Now, the problem is, once you have a detached fin, it becomes difficult to tell whether it's from a sawfish or whether it's from, you know, a legal-to-harvest shark. So what we've done is develop a quick genetics test that can distinguish fins from sawfishes from fins of other sharks and rays. It's sort of a generic test. It says that fin is from a sawfish and not from a shark or any other type of ray. The sort of beauty in this test is the fact that it's really, really quick and therefore can be used practically.
You've also been using genetics to pin down exactly what parts of the oceans they come from. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
What we did was that we actually looked at stalk structure of scalp hammerheads in the north and southwestern Atlantic, and we were able to find a clear genetic signature that would distinguish scalp hammerheads from the northwest Atlantic versus the Caribbean versus the southwest Atlantic. We then went to the fin trade. We first identified fins as being derived from scalp hammerheads. We then asked whether some of those fins were coming from the Western Atlantic, and we were able to match them up. And the reason that's important is because, first of all, it's sort of a proof of concept that you can actually not only tell what species the fin came from, but what part of the world that fin came from. And it turns out that in the Western Atlantic, scalp hammerheads are severely overfished. In fact, their populations have really crashed. And so the fact that we found fins from overfished populations in the fin trade tells you that, there's a direct pathway, a direct channel from the Western Atlantic to Asian markets. And therefore, some more attention needs to be paid in the Western Atlantic to protect these stocks.
Because your lab is also working on physically tracking sharks with various types of tag. How is that helping to build up a picture of where sharks move and how they use the oceans?
There's a critical need for information on migratory pathways of sharks and where sharks give birth and where they mate. One of the best ways to obtain that information is by tracking sharks, by putting satellite tags that will allow, you know, fine-scale tracking of sharks over long periods of time. What we're hoping to get at is define, first of all, if there are specific patterns or migratory corridors, if you will, that sharks, individual species, are moving along at certain times of the year. That's number one. Number two is to see whether females are ending up in places where they give birth. Number three is to see whether both males and females are ending up in certain areas of the world at certain times where they're mating. If we can find these places, define these corridors and find these hopping and mating places, then those places can be protected in terms of fishing to make sure that these very sensitive demographic populations are not being fished.
That was Professor Mahmood Shivji from the Save Our Seas Shark Research Centre and the Guy Harvey Research Institute, giving us the lowdown on how genetic tools are transforming the way we can monitor the trade in shark fins. Shortly after we spoke, Mahmood was heading off to Bermuda, lucky thing, where he has been making some amazing findings tagging tiger sharks. So hopefully we can catch up on his research later on in the series.
Are there really plenty more fish in the sea? Find out with Naked Oceans on the web at nakedscientist.com/oceans.